You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by Creative Foundations in Delaware and Starbase Columbus in Westerville. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison. Hey everyone, happy Free Comic Book Day! Welcome to Nerd Overload, the popping geek culture show that talks about all the geeky stuff that you love. I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Cody.
Hey, thank you all for tuning in. We have a great show for you this week. A lot of news. We're going to talk a little bit about the Captain America Civil War. That just came out. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But before we do that, let's get into some things we've been checking out.
Overwatch. It's an open beta right now.
Hey!
Yeah. It used to be.
I'm playing it too.
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
Okay, so for the listener, what is Overwatch?
It's Blizzard, the people who make Diablo and World of Warcraft and all that. It's their first-person shooter. It's a team-based multiplayer shooter, a lot like Team Fortress, but with so much more personality.
Oh, cool.
Like, it's got a huge cast of characters.
Like, 21.
Yeah, and they're all unique and interesting and have cool moves.
Yeah, each character, like, plays completely different.
Yeah.
Cool. Now, I remember they had like a cinematic trailer for it last year at E3, I think. And that looked really neat. That was the one with the giant gorilla, right?
Yeah, fight in the museum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a couple more now, too. Like Pixar level, because Blizzard has always had great
cinematics. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Always top notch.
But this is different for them to do like a more fun cinematic thing, more Pixar-esque.
Yeah. Like they had one video. It was about the big gorilla guy, Winston. And basically kind of bringing the Overwatch team back together. And then the other video was called...
it was about the Widow...
It was about Widowmaker, the sniper character.
The sniper femme fatale.
Yeah, who's French.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, like a lot of her voice stuff is like she's speaking French and whatnot.
Oh, right.
Like, a lot of the characters, like on top of having just personality, is international.
Yeah.
Like this character's like obviously from Russia and this one's from Germany and just all this kind of stuff. And it plays into their, things they say during the matches and things like that.
Yeah, like the pink-haired muscle ladies, Russian.
Yeah.
Divas Korean.
But yeah, I was playing last night, and I was on a hot streak with D.Va.
D.Va's the best. D.Va's my absolute favorite.
Now,
which
one is that one? Is that butt pose one?
No, that's Tracer.
Okay.
D.Va's a Korean girl who drives a mech robot.
Yep.
Oh, okay, cool.
That can pull up a shield around itself, but it's a really short shield.
It's not so much a shield, it's a reflective field. Like, it shoots bullets back.
Oh, I thought it was just a regular shield.
No, it reflects bullets back.
Oh.
It's kind of neat.
Sounds like it.
But mainly, like, after she takes so much damage, she ejects from the robot, and then you can run around just as her.
Oh, cool.
You basically get like a second life, but without any, she doesn't have any moves.
Not really. She's got like a really quick gun.
Yeah.
But that gun like shoots so quick, if you hit somebody, you build your meter back up and you can call your mech back down.
Yeah. But it's a great way to get streaks.
Oh, yeah. Like every character has like a special ultimate move.
Mm-hmm.
And hers is actually self-destructing her mech.
Oh, cool.
Oh, and you got to get away from it. Because
you kept killing yourself.
Yeah, it's got an insane blast radius on it.
Wow.
Yeah, I got the play of the game in my match.
Nice.
Because I killed 5 people.
Oh, yeah, it's apparently recording the whole time you're playing, because after you're done with the match, it'll show the play of the game and its exact footage what that person was doing.
Really? Oh, that's interesting.
When they got this play.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's... Oh, man, it's fun. Oh, I played Reaper a little bit.
Edgelord.
Edgelord. This gunslinging guy with a skull mask.
He looks like a Grim Reaper with 2, like, sawed-off shotguns.
Oh,
he looks like a 13-year-old designed him. Well, like a really talented 13-year-old.
Okay, yeah.
He's actually really fun to play.
Well, he's got a move where he turns into a wraith and he can't be shot and can't shoot.
Yeah, it's his wraith form. It's kind of neat. He's also got a weird teleport, but his ultimate move is called Die, 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 and you basically do the gun kata from Equilibrium.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And yep. Man, if you're anywhere near him when it happens, you're probably going to die.
Wow. Die, die.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta play the game with that, too.
I've never gotten play the game.
Yeah. I don't think it, like, keeps them, though. Like, if you log out and log back in, I think you lose it.
If you, your there's highlights. Some menu thing where
it does say highlights. Yeah,
yeah. For each of different character, I think it holds one of your like good kills.
Oh, okay, cool.
But no, it's like it's really fun, and I'm gonna buy it because I'm actually having that much fun playing.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy it too.
It comes out like the 24th of this month or something like that,
I think.
Okay, so yeah, something like that. That's yeah. cool. I might have to pick that up.
Oh, it's so fun.
I'm not usually a first person shooter type guy, but that's it sounds like a lot of fun.
So far, the only like game modes I've seen, I don't know, maybe there'll be more, but it's mostly just point control.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes the point control changes into a, if you're the attacking team, you take the point and you escort something to the to another part of the map.
Yeah, there's like a payload.
Okay. Mode okay.
Where a little truck, as long as you're standing by the little truck, it'll moves.
Move. Yeah.
Okay.
And then if the other team's standing next to it, you can push it back.
Right on. That sounds like a Team Fortress.
Yeah. Yeah
that is a Team Fortress mode.
Yeah, it was called Payload.
Okay.
But
I mean, it very much is just Team Fortress.
Okay.
But
done right.
Yeah. Well, not that Team Fortress isn't done right.
No.
I love Team Fortress, but
it's got a lot more personality than Team Fortress.
Yeah, and a more diverse cast. Team Fortress is just a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
Fighting over a gravel pit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the joke, but no, it's so fun. Probably going to play it more today instead of doing things I should be doing. You know, like mowing the yard.
And anybody can play it now. It's open beta, free.
On Xbox One, PS4, and PC.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So, you know, if you got the time to hurry up and download it by the time this airs, it'll have a couple more days left.
Yeah, the beta ends the 9th.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, a couple days. Cool.
Well, I think I've done is seen Civil War.
Silverware.
Captain America, Silverware. I can't even say...
See?
It's hard to say, apparently.
You know when you open the drawer and you find a spoon in your fork in the fork slot? You know?
Oh, I hate it when that happens. Yeah. Well, I really haven't checked out a whole lot. I've been playing Stardew Valley, which I think we talked about on the show a while back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's very much a time killer. It's fun. It's just like a farming sim kind of thing. Yeah,
it's Harvest Moon.
Yeah, it's Harvest Moon for the most part. But I never played Harvest Moon, so this is kind of a new kind of thing. Although I've played Animal Crossing, that's kind of similar.
Yeah,
a lot
more going on.
A little bit. It's a lot more micromanagement, I think. But no, it's fun. It's really not much to talk about, really. It's just kind of there.
I was playing it the other day, and you wanted me to go do something, and I have to make sure it's paused because I want to make the most of every day in the game.
Oh, yeah.
And then I realized I don't do that in my real life, and I got sad.
Yeah, yeah.
Crap got real.
Yeah. Stardew Valley made me think about my own life choices.
Yeah, I think it's cool that the game was developed by one guy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the whole thing was done by one person.
And it's really in-depth, and,
it is.
Like, the art's pretty good for being one guy.
Yeah. I mean, it very much looks like a RPG Maker kind of tile work a little bit, but it's way more advanced than that.
Civil War.
Yeah,
we all went and saw it.
Yeah, that's the other thing we kind of all did. Now, we're not going to get into too many details on this because it just came out. But, yeah, we all went and saw Civil War last night, or Thursday night, I guess. And it was great. It was super great.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So good.
Yeah. Action scenes were really well done, I thought.
I thought the pacing of the movie was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never felt bored.
Yeah, this movie was the same length as Superman v. Batman, and this movie felt a lot shorter.
Yeah.
Just because it just kept
going.
There's always something going on.
Yeah, there wasn't really a lag or anything.
Yeah, they handled having a large cast well.
Yeah.
Every character had their own kind of moment here or there.
Yeah, I never found myself thinking, boy, I wish there was more of blank.
Whoever, yeah. Everything was just really good. Black Panther really stood out.
Oh, Black Panther was cool.
I'm hype for his movie, his solo movie.
Oh, I am.
That's going to be really good.
Much excited.
Yeah.
And I love how they didn't, like, spend too much time exactly on his origin, I guess.
They didn't do origins for any of the characters introduced in this one. Not really, anyways.
No.
And Spider-Man was introduced.
Yeah, Spider-Man was introduced, but they didn't go into his origin. He just kind of said, it's a long story, and moved on.
They actually respected the intelligence of the audience and realized that we've all seen Spider-Man's origin like 7 times.
Yeah.
I wish DC would figure that out with Batman.
Never going to happen.
It seems like every time Batman pops up, we have to watch his parents die.
Oh, yeah. You're going to see the gun and those pearls rest of your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your nightmares.
Yes, this movie covered a lot of the same topics that Batman v Superman did.
Mm-hmm.
But it did it in a better way. So much better.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole argument of the power left unchecked with, and even the Vision at one point makes a mention that ever since the Tony Stark decided that
reveal himself
as Iron Man, which they said 8 years ago.
Yeah.
So that kind of gives you a hard timeline of the movies. That superhumans have been cropping up all over the place, and also superhuman related crimes have been coming up, and it might be a cause to effect. You know, which came first, the chicken or the egg? The hero with the powers or the villains causing crimes?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it made for a very interesting argument.
Mm-hmm.
For and against the registration of people with superhuman powers and basically becoming civil servants to the UN is what the argument was. Whose side were you on?
I think the movie did a good job at kind of blurring the line a little bit.
Yeah, they didn't make you want to lean one way over the other. Even though it was Captain America's movie, they didn't make him out to be better than anybody else.
Yeah, they made both sides. They showed the pros and cons of both sides, but that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, which side are you on?
Team Iron Man.
Yeah, I kind of am Iron Man too, honestly.
I don't know, man. I really couldn't understand where Captain America was coming from with the whole being sent somewhere they don't agree with, or the fact that somewhere they need to go, but the UN Council won't let them.
I understand that, but they needed to be held accountable for all of the destruction of New York, of Sokovia.
Here's the thing with New York, though. Even though they saw Hulk smashing through a building and stuff, it's like that was an alien invasion. There was no real.
Either that happened or there was no New York.
Pretty much.
Yeah. But then they just kind of took off and didn't help rebuild the town. That's something. If the Avengers would have stuck around after the destruction, after the climax of their movies, to
which
help
they,
rebuild.
Which they bring up.
They mentioned that, once they're done, they just kind of take off. And that's, I don't know, that's not
no,
right.
No, I get it. No, it's so hard.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm not sure I can pick a side because they both make really, really compelling arguments.
They do. Oh, sure. Yeah. That's a sign of a good movie when they make you think and they make you mull over decisions made in the movie.
Seriously, I didn't really think of, I kind of thought about it a little bit when we were watching the movie about how they were talking about, accountability and stuff like that and Batman versus Superman, but they just did it so well.
Yeah.
I kind of wish Crossbones would have had something more to do.
He was kind of a bait and switch, I think. I mean, I don't want to get into... That's reaching kind of spoiler territory a little bit.
A little bit. I don't know. But I get what they were doing with the whole marketing thing, going, hey, this character's in it. But
yeah. Oh, sure.
I don't know, but the movie was just so good, and there was just so much. And I never felt like anybody was really, kind of jammed in there.
They all seemed like they had a purpose to be in there. Except for Spider-Man, really. He was kind of
a
little bit shoehorned. He kind of was like the one.
Yeah,
I thought it was kind of weird that Tony Stark has no qualms about sending a 15-year-old into what is basically a war zone.
Maybe he's trying to throw him off by throwing a kid in there.
Maybe. Yeah.
And do you really want to hurt this kid?
And if you notice, Spider-Man asked Tony, "Hey, what do you want me to do?" And Tony's thing was, "Stay out of it. Just stay on the sidelines and shoot your webbing. That's all I want you to do." So he was like thinking, "Hey, I want to keep this kid. I want this kid's webbing, but I don't want him to get punched."
Yeah,
which he does.
But he's Spider-Man, so
it's okay.
Right.
It's all good.
And Spider-Man is really fantastic.
Probably my favorite depiction of Spider-Man on screen.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's. Oh man,
I'm
excited.
I'm excited for his solo movie.
He actually seemed like a nerdy kid.
Yeah,
from Queens.
Yeah,
and I kind of liked the whole banter between the different characters.
The dialogue was excellent.
Yeah.
Well, Marvel movies, their dialogue is always excellent.
This and is there's, true.
I loved a little bit of levity that the movie had. It's not a funny movie, but not afraid of going to some comedic elements and there.
Break the tension with a stupid joke.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a stupid joke or a moment. Yeah, because I think it's part of the problem with Batman Superman. It was too dark, too serious all the time.
Yeah. You never got a break from it.
Yeah, it was never fun.
Yeah.
This movie is, like, fun.
Paul Rudd.
Oh, God, yes.
This movie has Paul Rudd.
Yeah. And it seemed like they probably just had him ad-lib his lines.
Well, it's like they abducted him and threw him in that van.
Yeah.
And then that scene when he rolls out of the van, that's just Paul Rudd rolling out of the van.
Yeah. Whoa, you're Captain America. He's shaking hands and goes, and Cap says, hey, what's wrong? He goes, I'm shaking your hand too long. This is great. Man, you're the best. And he turns around and looks at the Scarlet Witch and goes, hey, I know you too. You're great. Oh, it's just so good. So good.
This is how stupid he was. And like, he hands Captain America a shield. Your shield, Captain America.
Here's your shield, Captain America. Yeah, I love it.
Oh, it was so good.
Well, the fight scenes had so much finesse and like good choreography to them. Unlike Batman v Superman, which all the fight scenes were about who could punch the other one the hardest.
Yeah, even I think even the fight with Doomsday in Batman versus Superman pales in comparison to this one because
it really does.
The fight choreographer was able to coordinate what each character can do and had them work off each other. Whereas in Batman versus Superman, it was like, here's Superman doing his thing. And then he steps back and Wonder Woman does her thing.
Yeah.
And then she steps back and Batman does her thing. You don't see them working together. Where in this,
it was like a
turn-based battle.
A little bit. But in this one, they were working together. They were using each other's strengths and bouncing off each other. It was great. Yeah.
Like just like Spider-Man hanging off of Falcon or, Ant-Man riding an arrow.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so cool. That was so cool.
You know what? Hawkeye, that was kind of weird how they threw him in kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah.
He had to be there because had to be there, of course, but that was kind of weird. Kind of a weird thing.
That guy.
Jeremy Renner, he's not a great person.
His dumb face.
Not really.
Do your Jeremy Renner impression.
Nailed it.
Like,
I think he smelled
a really bad smell the whole time. I like how they kind of fleshed out Falcon's character better.
He actually had a personality in this one.
He was cool.
He was really cool.
I thought he was lame in the other Captain America movie.
In Winter Soldier.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, those wings look dumb. He's flying around. He looks like an idiot. This movie, he was very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had like personality and his fights were really cool to watch.
Yeah, he used his wings in cool ways. Like he used them to block bullets and he had a drone.
Yeah. Very cool. Very neat. What'd you think of Winter Soldier in this? Because it's no surprise that he's in there.
No.
He's just kind of there.
Yeah. I think by the end when he started kind of coming out of his programming a little bit.
Yeah.
I think when he started showing a little bit of personality, I think that's when the character really shined.
Yeah.
But the early bits.
Where he's basically just depressed because he was a Hydra zombie.
Something like that.
Yeah,
him and Cap had some good buddy dialogue moments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He looks like a dirty Aaron Hansen.
A little bit, yeah.
The winter homeless soldier.
Yeah. So does this movie give you hope for the new Avengers movies spinning off? Because the Russo brothers are directing, they're taking over the Avengers stuff. Joss Whedon isn't going to be doing any more Avengers things.
Good.
It's these guys that are going to be doing the next two Avengers movies.
I really, really liked this movie.
Yeah.
It was better than Age of Ultron.
Far and away.
It almost seemed like if you can cut what little fat there was in this movie and cut a lot of the fat that was in Age of Ultron, you could almost squeeze them together into about a 3.5-hour movie. Like if you take the hour of good out of Age of Ultron and slap it together.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I still liked Age of Ultron.
Oh, it was good.
Far better than any DC movie I've seen in a long time.
That's not a hard contest.
I feel like this is the Avengers movie we needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though it was a quote-unquote Captain America movie,
mm-hmm.
it was so good.
Yeah, and this movie could have run the risk of being one of the a situation where it's like, we have to tell you this story so we could tell you the next story.
Yeah,
kind of bridging the gap kind of story, but they did it right, and it didn't feel like a throwaway one shot kind of to get all of our pieces in place kind of
thing. Yeah, I didn't feel like they were rushing too far. Like, I think they understand there are a bunch of more movies coming,
mm-hmm.
and they're just kind of like, you know, well, this is the story we want to tell for this movie.
Yeah. Well, the Russos have said by the end of by the second Avengers movie, which it's not called Infinity War Parts 1 and 2. It's going to be called something
else. Yeah, they've said they're going to change the titles. But yeah, they haven't
which
said
is fine
what.
Because Parts 1 and 2, those are any time a movie has Part 1 and Part 2 in it, I don't care for it.
Yeah.
But they say by the end of that, there's going to be 80 different character named superhero characters like on screen.
It's going to be crazy.
It's going to be nuts. It might be too much, honestly.
Kind of
might
a sensory overload.
A little bit, but that means all of the Avengers, all of the other Avengers.
Yeah.
You have the Guardians of the Galaxy. You're going to have Doctor Strange. They accidentally leaked and said Captain Marvel is going to be a part of this.
Who is technically kind of related to the Guardians,
sort of.
She's hung out with them.
Yeah.
Though, I've heard the Inhumans movie is running a little bit of a...
Whoa. It's been canceled.
Oh.
Has it been officially canceled?
Yep.
I knew it was having production problems and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, it's been canceled. And people are speculating that either it's because of what they've been doing in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that have irreparably screwed up the Inhumans for the movie.
Way to go, S.H.I.E.L.D.
Or that they're working on a deal for the X-Men.
Mm.
Because once Wolverine 3 hits, Fox basically is done with the X-Men line.
Hmm. Are they?
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
I know he said that's the last time he's doing Wolverine.
It's the last time he's doing it, and they're going to do a New Mutants movie, which is in our news section. We'll talk about it a little bit later. But Age of Apocalypse.
I know. I want to call it Age of Apocalypse,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. From what I understand, that's like one of the last
the
ones they're doing.
The dawning of the Age of Aquarius.
Yeah. Yeah, so who knows? And I'm sure they'll find somewhere to fill in the...
Oh, man, that'd be so
fill in the gap
weird.
It'd be so
weird having all the big Marvel names in, like, the same umbrella.
That would be weird.
Oh, man.
Imagine if they can get Fantastic Four.
I'd rather not.
I'd love a good Fantastic Four.
Marvel Studios would do it right.
Maybe.
I mean, they would really do it right. And that means they'd have the rights back to Silver Surfer and Galactus.
Dr. Doom.
And Dr. Doom. Oh, yeah.
That's the thing I'm more excited about, is having Doom square off against these characters.
That would be great.
I would like to see Iron Man against Dr. Doom.
I'd like to see Dr. Strange versus Dr. Doom, because Dr. Doom is both Iron Man and Dr. Strange. He is Armored Magic Man. Yeah.
Evil Magic Armored Man.
The two egos clash.
Yeah, that would be really, really solid.
Man, Civil War was so good.
That'd be really good.
If you
Iron
haven't
Man
seen
4.
It, go watch it.
Yeah, well, it's out this weekend, so go to Free Comic Book Day and then turn around and go make a day of it. Which we should probably explain Free Comic Book Day, because it's only comes around once a year.
It's today.
Yeah, the first Saturday in May is always Free Comic Book Day. If you go to a comic book shop, a lot, I won't say all of them, but most of them have events going on and giving away free promo copies of... I mean, it's not like you just walk in and grab a book off the shelf and take it home with you.
No, there are certain issues and books
that publishers put out. Yeah.
Specifically marked for Free Comic Book Day.
Mm-hmm. And some shops let you pick out as many as you want. Some shops limit you. A couple of shops that we go to, I know Subculture is doing something. Mm-hmm. And last time I was in, they talked about they might have the 501st show up.
Ooh,
oh,
but
cool.
I'm not certain if they were a little uncertain whether they're going to get that locked down or not, but they were kind of talking about
the
possibility of it.
I know the Ohio 501st chapter. I know it's not huge.
Yeah.
These are stormtroopers.
Stormtroopers. Yes. Yes,
they are
Star Wars stormtrooper.
Yeah, it's the Star Wars cosplay associations, the 501st. Yeah.
Cosplay seems like too light of a term for what
they
do.
They really are
a Star Wars costuming club.
Yeah.
They do a lot of charity work and appearances, mm-hmm. and they do a lot of good stuff.
Right.
They're huge. They're international. They're everywhere. Mm-hmm. There was a guy back a couple years ago, part of the 501st, who walked 501 miles for cancer. in his armor.
That's
to San Diego Comic-Con.
That's awesome. That's really impressive.
Yeah.
But other shops we go to, Pack Rat always has like, it's almost like a mini convention.
It is. They have cosplay totally free contests, an artist alley.
Mm-hmm. They build a Batman 66 climbing wall.
I'm so excited about that.
It looks so great.
The Mikey's Late Night Slice pizza truck, which is a great, great pizza.
Mm-hmm. They show up.
They show up. They generally have a special guest. They do this year. It's nobody I really recognize.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, they usually have a big one, but this year not so much.
I think
much.
They have a couple guests this year of like not as well-known people in lieu of having one big star.
Right, right.
But it's always so crowded in that little plaza.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, Free Comic Book Day. I mean, if you have nothing going on this afternoon,
go
check it out.
Support local businesses and comic shops.
That's what this really is.
Comic shops.
Yes. Yeah, that's pretty much it. And then go see Captain America Civil War. Then
go
do that.
Go see it a couple times.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Yeah. I mean, Marvel doesn't need your money, but you owe it to yourself. Treat yourself.
Don't see it a couple times. That's like 8 hours.
That is. Yeah, that's true.
Practically 8 hours.
No, see it all together, all at once. Yeah. Do it meow.
Right. No, do something else with your day. You know, see the movie, but yeah, go make something afterwards.
No, it's Civil War. All there is Civil War.
Don't watch 6 hours of Civil War.
All right. Let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we'll talk about some news.
Nerd Overload is sponsored in part by Creative Foundations.
Hi, my name is Robert.
Hi, my name is Amber.
Hi, my name is Jessica.
I'm Jimmy, and I work at Creative Foundations,
the store that employs people with developmental disabilities.
We have 4 locations:
Delaware, Mount Vernon, Marysville, and Urbana.
Our website is creativefoundations.org.
Find us on Facebook.
Set Phasers to Fun at the 8th Annual Out of This World Festival, hosted by Starbase Columbus, on May 21st from noon to 7 p.m. The Out of This World Festival will feature food, exhibits, a sci-fi collectibles auction, and more. Admission is free to the public, but donations are appreciated. Starbase Columbus and the Out of This World Festival is located at 5541 Westerville Road in Westerville. outoftheworldfest.blogspot.com for more information.
That was Why Can't We Be Friends by War. You know, seemed fitting.
Why can't those Avengers just be friends?
Yeah, I wish. I wish they could be friends.
Just hug it out.
Yep. Well, let's go ahead and get into a little bit of news. First one off the top was the new Power Rangers movie. Their mock-ups of the new suits were revealed in Interview the Weekly. Yo, I was going to ask you what you feel about it, so.
Yeah, there's your answer.
Yeah.
They're pretty bad.
Yeah, they look awful.
Yeah, they're not. I can understand where they're coming from because it would be crazy for anyone to think that a movie would use spandex costumes for anything anymore. It would get laughed at. It would be a joke.
Yeah.
These look like power armor. They look like Iron Man armor.
They do. They look like Iron Man with Power Ranger helmets on.
Yeah, it looks like 5 suits that Tony Stark threw out for being too boring.
Yeah. And it's just, they're really busy, and there's a bunch of, like, unneeded lines and stuff. I'm willing to give it a chance when we see them in action. Maybe they'll look a lot better. Because, like I said, these are just mock-ups. They're not,
I'm hoping they're paying attention to what people are saying online.
Well, they're not.
Oh, no.
No, never. Never a million years. But from the mock-ups that I've seen, they're just too monotonous. It's just one body color, basically.
About.
Yeah, and There's no boot lines, there's no glove lines, there's no belt, and it's not just because that's what superhero costumes looked like back in the 90s. It breaks up the monotony of the color. Without that, it just looks like a onesie.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with Superman's trunks.
Yeah.
And without the trunks, he just looks like wearing blue underoos.
Where are the white diamonds?
Well, they got a diamond on the chest.
Well, like the diamond pattern.
There's no diamond pattern. Instead, they have like a big, like glowing chest.
They have an arc reactor.
Basically, yeah. They look like Iron Man suits. And
I love the fact that, you know, the female armor have heels.
Have heels and molded breastplates,
which are dumb. That's not something the Power Rangers have ever had.
And the Pink Ranger doesn't have the skirt. That's not right. That's not right, you guys.
No, and like. like, if you have to gender the suits, the skirt was an acceptable way to do it.
Yeah.
It was better than big old molded boob plate.
Yeah, it just, they just don't look right. It's just,
they
mean,
really don't.
It's clear that this Power Ranger movie isn't for us. This is for the younger generation where everything has to be edgy and cool and techno and
but it's
stuff.
Not
but it's not
cool.
Yeah,
it's not even really it's not
cool.
even really edgy.
Yeah, it's totally missing the point. Yeah. This whole movie.
It's what a Hollywood executive thinks is edgy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's like the Transformers treatment of Power Rangers.
Oh yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what the whole movie is going to be.
That's exactly what it is. And again, we've talked about it off mic. It's missing the point of Power Rangers. The point of Power Rangers was that it was kind of cheesy.
It was goofy fun.
Yeah.
And it's even the crappy 90s movie was goofy fun.
Yeah, because it's what it is. That's what Power Rangers is. It's goofy fun for the kids.
Yeah, and this doesn't look like goofy or fun. It just looks like techno throw up.
Yeah.
At least they have the silver mouth plates.
Oh, but if they start moving while in the movie, if they start talking and the mouths move, I'm done. We talk...
CG mouth.
No,
but,
none
but
of
if
that.
If they kind of just flapped a little bit, like a practical effect, like a Thunderbirds puppet, I'd be okay with that.
There we go. Yeah, perfect.
I read somewhere online where somebody said it might look a little better if they had like their weapons hanging off their belts.
I don't want that either. Yeah, that's right. If they don't have their belts, where are their dino blasters?
Yeah.
They probably have repulsors. They probably have handguns, hand lasers.
They just have real guns, probably.
Real guns, yep.
They're just going to Deadpool it.
Deadpool didn't even have guns in the movie. Yeah.
I will say I like the helmets. The helmet design.
Yeah, because that's the acceptable. Only thing Power Rangers about the whole episode.
Yeah.
I don't know, like... Yellow Ranger, you can't really tell exactly what's going on in her helmet.
It's just the angle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, honestly, the only one I can really tell that's, like, specifically what's going on is the Red Ranger.
Well, he's the most important one.
Well, you can see in the Pink Ranger is the pterodactyl. And you can see the horns kind of protruding a little bit from the Blue Ranger's triceratops. So, I mean, they're there, and I'm sure once we see them in action, they're going to be
better.
I wish they had white gloves. I wish they had white boots. Even if they were part of the armor, they were just colored differently from like the elbow down or the knee down.
Like a gauntlet or something.
Yeah. I wish that were the case, but it's not. They look like Under Armour. It's like if someone took the look of like overly designed like running wear Under Armour and made that into actual armor with the like stitching and lines and stuff.
It's just...
Yeah, and I understand, again, why they're going with armor, because the description that they give is the suits aren't given to them. They don't put on suits. They're actually, like, grown around them. Like, they activate their morpher, and then the suits, like, encase
them
encase them in, like, a moving cocoon, almost.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a neat design.
It does have alien origin.
It explains why one second they have street clothes on, and the next second they have... Power Ranger armor on.
Yeah.
So I guess I can understand that. But just, and the thing that really, that bothers me more than anything is that as iconic and as simple as the original Power Rangers costumes are, there is a way that they could have translated it into armor and made it look good.
Better than it does.
Look good and look instantly recognizable as Power Rangers. If these were all the same, if I took the picture of the promo picture and grayscaled it, you wouldn't be able to tell that they were the Power Rangers.
No.
Because the only thing that's really unique about their suits is that they're different colors. If they were all gray, it'll look like it come out of Iron Man. That's it.
Yeah, they'd look like a set of Tony Stark's Ontominous Iron Man suits.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ones from Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Although I will say also these suits fit right in line with the redesign of Rita Repulsa. Which is starting to grow on me. I'll be honest.
I still can't get behind it.
I've seen some more like on set pictures, and she has the staff.
Oh, okay.
And the staff is all gold, and it looks kind of like the original staff a little bit.
Does it have like the big circle on the top?
It does. Well, okay. It looks like a giant claw that kind of goes around into a circle and has the jewel in the center. So okay. I mean, it looks neat.
Okay.
But it's right in keeping with the rest of these, and I can only imagine what the Green Ranger is going to look like. In this design, but with the weird shoulder, like
the gold chest armor.
Yeah,
I don't know. I feel like what they could have done is taken like the Batman armor from like I don't know, like the Nolan verse.
Yeah,
and maybe and just kind of colored it.
A lot of nylon or Kevlar.
Yeah,
kind of. And yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like it. It makes me mad. I don't like the glowy chests. I feel like if you want to have glowy bits on your armor, you know, just say that it's powered armor or whatever.
The belt?
Well, the belt does kind of glow. The morpher does glow.
Yeah, a little bit.
Have like a little bit of light emitting from the eyes of the helmet.
Yeah.
Not this big glowing chest jewel.
Yeah.
Power Rangers really don't have eyes on their helmets, though. They're just kind of a visor.
Well, no, I mean the animal eyes.
Oh, okay. The animal eyes. Okay. Yeah.
Although they did that in the movie. The Power Rangers, the movie?
The one, yeah.
Rocky, his helmet turned into a flashlight?
No. It was Aisha's.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Because Rocky's had that weird visor
thing. The weird visor
on.
That they glued on. Yeah.
Yeah.
The scanning.
Yeah.
Like yeah.
The more I think about that movie, the more I don't like it.
It's not great.
It's not.
It's super not good.
The big gold gems on their or the big gold medallions on their chest.
That drives me nuts more than anything. If you look at old Power Ranger toys, they look like the Power Rangers, but they also have like a gold circle on their chest that has their animal on it.
Yeah.
And they didn't have that on the show. Why do all the toys have to have that? It drives me insane.
Tell us how you really feel.
I am, and I don't like it.
As we look around the room with a bunch of old Power Ranger toys.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Either way, Power Rangers movie, not for us, but it should be for us.
I'm still going to watch it. Sure, I'll still go see it, but I'm
oh,
not.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to like it.
Nah,
it's going to be like Ninja Turtles all over again.
The Power Rangers movie is going to be like Battleship to Transformers.
Pretty much. Yeah.
That's what I'm calling
good
it right now.
Good night.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Good night, sweet prince.
I don't know, there was no way this was going to be good from the beginning. I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised
either. This is about what I expected, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I know.
A little bit more Nintendo news.
Oh, yeah.
There.
What have they screwed up this time?
They did screw up again. Last week, we reported that the only playable game that they were going to have at E3 was the new Zelda that's coming out for the NX and the Wii U. It turns out not only is that the only playable game, it is the only game they're showing.
Oh, Nintendo, why? Why you do me like this?
Like, apparently just no games for the rest of the year. Nothing else for the Wii U, I guess, except for
2017.
That. Yeah.
Wow, so they're throwing all their eggs into the NX basket is what they're doing. Mm.
Nintendo, you're tearing us apart.
Yeah. I don't know. They didn't really do much for E3 last year, but they did have that Nintendo Direct.
Yeah,
like
and
a couple
they
days before.
A bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, not a bunch, but stuff.
Yeah. And they could still do that.
But yeah, they might surprise us and be like, okay, it's not E3, but it's a couple days before, and here's the Direct. But it doesn't seem that way.
No, they're not showing the signs. Like, last year, they pretty much announced, hey, we're not doing E3, but we're doing this. They haven't done anything like that yet this year, so
though
I don't know.
E3 is still...
Still a month away.
Yeah true.
There's going to be nothing left for the Wii U. Like, what, that Fire Emblem Persona weird crossover.
Oh, the dancing game?
It's an RPG.
Oh, it's an RPG? Yeah. I thought it was a dancing game.
No, it's an RPG.
Okay, well, that's cool.
And Paper Mario that looks bad.
Yeah.
That's it.
Bunch of eShop stuff.
Yeah. Not to mention the last couple games they released just weren't that good.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved Star Fox, but Mario Tennis was bad.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Well, what else? What was after that? Oh, the Animal Crossing game is not great.
Oh, that was not super. That was not good either.
all these games feel like they were just rushed out. They're just like they just told the developers, "You're done.
They're clearing the deck because the NX. It's what it feels like.
Yeah. Oh, Mario Tennis only has one level you can play on. Well, ship it. You got to make Mario Tennis for NX.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I don't get it.
Why don't they just make like a big game, just like Mario Sports Collection or something?
They did once.
Yeah.
Did they?
Mario Sports Mix.
Did they?
It was all right.
Yeah. And they do the Mario versus Sonic at the Olympics just about every year.
Yeah. I saw a GIF of Bowser doing rhythmic gymnastics. That's hilarious.
Awesome. I love it.
Oh, Bowser.
Yeah.
Big turtle dad. But yeah, they're just disappointing. On all counts.
Way to go, Nintendo.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like most internet commenters are down on Nintendo. And it seems like Nintendo, instead of coming back and saying, no, trust us, we know what's going on. They're like, okay, yeah, we'll play into this. We kind of suck. You're right. It's they're kind of leaning into the negative press a little bit. It's,
yeah, usually when people are hard on Nintendo, I'm like, you're wrong. You know, they're still good.
Yeah.
This time I can't help but agree. Like, no, they're doing all the wrong things.
Yeah, they're kind of sailing into the wind on this one.
A little bit. So, I don't know. I'm sure they're going to come up with something and surprise us. They always do.
Yeah.
But as it stands right now,
The NX has to be a big surprise.
It has to be. It really has to be.
It's being a little bleak in the Mushroom Kingdom.
Yeah, because if the NX... What would happen if the NX failed? If it was another flop?
Well, they said they're going to sell it at...
They won't sell it at a
profit.
Loss.
Yeah, they won't sell it at a loss, so they probably just move on and do the next thing.
Yeah, true.
Well, that experiment failed.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's happened to them before.
Yeah.
The Virtual Boy.
Oh, God, the Virtual Boy. Yeah.
Almost the Wii U, kind of.
Kinda, yeah.
Feel bad for the Wii U. There's a lot of great games on the Wii U, and it's a cool system. Mm-hmm. I like the gamepad. It just got railed.
It got railed bad to the point where their execs apologized for it.
It's very much people will look back on it like the Dreamcast.
Yeah.
I feel like.
I agree. Yep.
Oh, man.
The people who like it love it, and the people who hate it are going to forget about it completely as soon as the next one comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved the Dreamcast. So good.
It's a great system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let's switch back over to a little bit of movie news. I guess, and this is brand new news, too, so hot off the presses, cutting edge of stuff. They've cast a young Han Solo for the young Han Solo Star Wars spinoff movie.
Yeah, some dude I've never heard of.
Yeah.
The guy's name is Alden Einreich. I think that's how you pronounce that name.
Yeah, it looks Einreich. Like Einreich.
Very, very German. Very German-sounding name.
Yeah, so I have the guy's picture pulled up here, and he doesn't really look like Harrison Ford at all.
Nope, not even.
I don't.
Not even a bit.
No.
I'm starting to think this movie is a bad idea.
I'm.
I have a bad feeling.
About this. Yeah.
I think maybe the less we know about Han Solo, the better.
I agree. Yeah. Let's see. The guy was most recently in the movie Hail Caesar.
I heard he's great in that, though.
Yeah. I haven't heard really super good things about Hail Caesar.
I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, all I've heard is good things about it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen it, so I can't tell you. Yeah. But yeah, I really wanted to watch it. And it's a Coen Brothers movie. And
yeah, I like
for the
Coen
most
Brothers.
Part, they're good.
Yeah.
I mean, Burn After Reading was hot garbage. But
I liked that movie.
I liked it for like the first half. And then after that, I was kind of like,
eh. Maybe I just liked it because it was interspersed with J.K. Simmons yelling at people.
Yeah.
Happens a lot.
Yeah.
I love J.K. Simmons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to give him all the hugs.
Get off me.
But I have pictures of Spider-Man.
Okay.
So I don't know. This guy, he just hasn't done a whole lot, so you never know.
He might surprise us. Like, a lot of these no-name people have been, you know. John Boyega and Daisy Ridley.
Yeah.
And I'm getting their names mixed up. Chris Miller and Phil Lord are great directors.
So, yeah, I mean, this could be really good, but I don't know. I'm with you guys. I think the less known about Han Solo's backstory, the better, because it adds to that kind of mystique a little bit.
Yeah. His roguish mystique.
Yeah.
You know, he's just a guy. He's always in trouble.
Now, if this is just a story, it's not his backstory, but just a story about Han Solo before meeting the other two. Like, okay, what if it's the story of
the Kessel Run?
The Kessel Run, or like the most recent smuggling job that went bad that got him on Jabba's bad side.
Oh, yeah.
That wouldn't be too bad. Like, I don't need to know like where he grew up.
Yeah, we don't need Han being born. We don't need to see Mama and Papa Solo.
Yeah.
Stepping up for baby chewing on the playground.
Yeah.
Getting bullied.
Yeah. Now, if it were the story of Han meeting Chewie, that would be kind of neat because...
I'm sure they'll do it.
The extended universe, it was Bosk was smuggling a bunch of Wookiees.
It wasn't even so much they were smuggling.
He's taking them to his planet to eat, right?
No. They enslave them.
Ah, okay.
They sell them for slave.
Gotcha. And it was... That's why he and Bosk kind of got on bad terms.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, the fact that Bosk is a bounty hunter.
Yeah, true. But then again, the EU stuff doesn't count anymore.
No.
Except for when it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Darth Bane in Clone Wars. But granted, that was technically before the acts of the EU.
Yeah.
Which I tell you, a lot of people are mad about the EU getting acts, but
there's a lot of crap in
there. There's a lot of crap in the EU.
And a lot of contradictory stories.
Definitely.
It's pretty bloated.
But that's what happens when you have like a million authors writing a million different books.
For a million years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all essentially fan fiction.
For the most part. Well, yeah. Then again, all comic stories are fan fiction, basically, as well. Once you move on from the original writer to the next writer,
it's
basically just playing with each other's...
Action figures,
yeah.
I don't know. I'll give... Rogue One looks amazing, so...
That looks really good. Saw the trailer for that last night before Civil War. Really, really good.
It's always... Oh, man, I'm so excited. And one guy I talked to at work, he's like, I don't know about a Star Wars story without Jedi. And I'm like, why not? I'm kind of tired of magic space wizards.
Yeah.
Yeah. And who's saying that there isn't a Jedi in this?
Yeah, we don't know. But I'm
Jedi are almost always the most boring part of any Star Wars story.
Kind
of.
Yeah.
I mean,
they are and they aren't. I mean, they're all powerful and stuff, and it's kind of...
I've always thought the non-Jedi characters were cooler.
Yeah,
like Han Solo or Boba Fett.
They're way more compelling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the Joe Everyman in space.
Yeah. Lando. He was the coolest cat in space.
I'd love to see something more with Lando.
That would be cool. Young Lando?
A young Lando movie would be rad.
A young Han and Lando movie.
Maybe this is what it'll be.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Them Griffin people.
Go with me on this. It's cut up into three sections, like three different acts. The first act is Han meeting Chewie it would be Han winning the Millennium Falcon off a card game from Lando. The second act is him with Chewie, and the third act is the Kessel Run or whatever.
Hmm.
Kind of split it up a little bit here and there.
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah. Again, we just don't need to see Baby Han. Yeah.
Han getting bit by the radioactive smuggler spider.
Yeah. You're really enthused with that joke. You're proud of yourself.
I know. That was a dumb joke. I'm proud. Good job. Pound back.
I liked when Mothman was in the Rogue One trailer.
Mothman?
Mon Mothman.
Oh, Mon Mothman. Yeah.
Get out.
Mon Mothma.
Mon Mothra.
Darth Godzilla.
Nice. Oh, that would be great, though. Can you imagine?
Godzilla with force powers? No
yes.
thanks.
Yes. Perfect.
Oh, man. We're crossing the streams here.
A little bit.
Just two things put together. Have you seen that Tumblr?
No, I haven't.
It's just two things, and it makes fun of bad crossover t-shirts. Geez.
Yeah. God, I don't understand crossover t-shirts. I don't like them. I mean, I know you guys do. You guys like them a lot, but I don't
like crossover t-shirts.
Like, I don't like them all. This one's more of a joke within the movie.
Well, that's we should tell the listener.
I like it when it makes sense. Like,
yeah, we should tell the listener what you're... No, we're gonna. It's a surprise. We're not going to tell the listener. No, you just got to imagine.
What crossover t-shirt is Josh wearing? It's a contest. Email. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, staff@nerdoverload.com. Why not? All right, we have one last news thing here, and it's kind of a news thing. Fox is gearing up for the next X-Men-ish movie chapter, and it's based on the New Mutants, which are the younger class of X-Men teens, I guess.
Yeah.
And, X-Men Teen Titans.
Yeah, and they haven't cast anyone yet, but they've announced who...
Like the character lineup.
The character lineup. So I'm going to run through these, and it's going to be a bunch of X-Men that no one knows about, really.
Except for us.
But you have Cannonball, who is a guy who can basically fly really, really fast, and as long as he's in flight, he is indestructible. Or as the comics described him, he's nigh invulnerable while he's blasting.
While he's blasting?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Got a juice.
Yeah. And it's interesting. His backstory, he comes from the foothills of Kentucky, and he has like seven or eight brothers and sisters, and because his father was a miner in a mine shaft that had like weird like iridium or whatever in it, all of his brothers and sisters have mutant powers. Like every family, the Guthrie family, they all have mutant powers.
Huh.
Yeah, kind of interesting. His sister was husk. She could pull her skin off to reveal like different. She's like the Absorbing Man, but instead of just turning her skin into like metal or gold or whatever, she would actually have to peel off layers of flesh.
And she'd be like metal underneath her.
Metal underneath or like feathers underneath or whatever. Yeah,
whatever she needed.
Yeah. So you have him. You have Sunspot, who absorbs solar radiation and gets super strong, but not super durable. So you can just knock him out like a normal human. But if he hits you, you're done for.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Also, he has flight.
Yeah.
But not lasers. That's the one thing. Well, from the design, you would think he would have some kind of laser beam kind of power.
No.
But no, he just punches people really hard.
The power of the sun.
Yeah.
Double sun power.
Let's see. There's Mirage, who was a Native American woman who could psychically look into your brain and create
illusions.
Illusions sometimes real life manifestations of your fears or your desires or whatever.
Wasn't there an Avengers Initiative character kind of like that?
Like
Nightmare or whatever he was called?
Yeah, something like that.
He would pull like your greatest fears out and become mm-hmm. them.
Yep, very similar powers. And actually, in that comic, she came back as an adult as like a tutor, a special tutor for him because he was having trouble not just looking into everyone's minds and turning himself into their nightmares, like reflexively.
Yeah, yeah. I remember in one, he like turned into a giant, like horrific monster spider.
Yeah, yeah.
It gave me the willies.
Yeah, it's actually a really interesting power. It's one of the few things that came out of Avengers Initiative.
Yeah,
that was good.
Okay. Yeah.
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 We also have Wolfsbane, who's actually gone on and done a lot of stuff post her run in New Mutants. Rain Sinclair, she was a Catholic, an Irish Catholic girl who grew up and was told that her powers were a curse by God.
Yeah.
But she's basically a werewolf. That's her mutant power. She could turn into any... turn herself from human to wolf and anywhere in between. So sometimes, like, the halfway point is like a wolf man.
Sometimes she's a furry.
Yeah, basically. But she's actually gone on and done a lot of different stuff. And she's one of the few characters from New Mutants that were kind of allowed to age up in the comics.
Yeah. Or just comics in general.
Yeah, because most of the time, teen superheroes, they don't get to age.
Not really. They kind of tend to stay that way.
Yeah. And we also have Magic, who... I'm actually not super familiar with.
She is the daughter of...
she's not daughter.
Oh,
sister.
No. Sister, yeah.
Sister of Colossus. So she's Russian.
Yes.
And she has vague...
that's right. I was thinking of Hope.
Yeah. And she has vague magic-based...
Magic.
Yeah, it's like her mutant power is that she can do magic.
Kind of like Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, but it's more... Well, not really kind of like that, but she's... she has like weird armor... that she can form around herself and a sword made out of her soul that she can stab people with.
I stabbed you with my soul.
Yeah.
The soul sword.
And she's very much like Raven from Teen Titans, where she gets swayed to the dark side like super easy, near constantly. I think at one point she had goat legs.
At one point, I think she was part of the Phoenix Force too.
More recently, yeah. Yes. Yeah, that was a more recent thing. They've done a lot with her recently. She was dead or depowered for like 10 years and like real lifetime, not comic time.
Like you do in comics.
Yeah. It's kind of if you know New Mutants, this is kind of a stock standard kind of team.
Yeah.
They're missing out on a couple of characters that I'm really sad about, like Cypher, who has I can understand why they're not doing his power, because it's not combat ready and there would be no CGI involved with his power. He can speak in any language and understand any language, including binary computer code and any human language. So it would just be like, oh yeah, you want to know what that guy says? I can tell you.
If it was a different kind of movie, it'd be interesting.
Yeah. But in an action movie, it would not work.
They should have thrown Negasonic in there.
They should. They really should. But I don't know if they're saying... I don't know if the X-Men franchise and the Deadpool movies are the same.
They are.
Are they?
Yeah, they're the same universe.
I don't know how
do the X-Men movies know this.
Yeah. Has anyone told Bryan Singer this? Because, I don't know.
I don't know. I kind of want... I want more from the Deadpool X-Men universe.
I do too. Yeah. Well, we're going to be getting Cable. We're getting Deadpool 2 with Cable in it, and that's going to be cool.
It's an awfully big house for just two of you here.
Yeah.
It's like they couldn't afford the other X-Men.
Yeah. So anyway, this is an X-Men movie that's coming down the pike. It's going to be one of the movies that no one understands.
We'll probably forget about it before it comes out again,
or it just won't come out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it'll get it'll be called like X-Men : New Mutant, the New Mutants, or something like that. And it's gonna be
X-Men: The Next Generation.
Yeah. Oh God.
What if they just nix it as a movie and just make it a series?
Oh geez, like the Generation X, like major TV movie
with
Skin, the guy who could just make his skin real long,
stretch. Yeah.
No, he wasn't stretchy. He couldn't stretch, like he couldn't reach across the room with his hand. He would just be able to stretch his skin real long.
I remember and wrap you up when he was like getting like. Taken to the school, like his little sister wouldn't let go of his hand from the car and just stretched his arm like a block.
Something like that, yeah. It was
I remember Jubilee was in it, though.
Yeah, she wasn't great because she wasn't Asian.
No.
Yeah.
Of course not.
That made-for-TV movie wasn't very good.
Nope. Not at all.
It was Emma Frost and Banshee were running the X-Men school.
Yeah.
Like, those are the two, like, least... why would you pick those characters?
Well, Emma Frost now runs...
Well, true, and she ran the New Hampshire Academy, the rival X-Men school there for a while in the comics.
But now she's like co-leader of the X-Men with Cyclops.
Yeah, and Banshee's dead, so you know what are you gonna do there?
Spoilers.
Yeah. Okay, I think we've rambled long enough. Let's go ahead and get out of here. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you again for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us at Facebook at facebook.com/nerdoverload website.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com. We would like to hear from you.
You can tweet at us @nerd_overload.
Yep, and don't forget we're on iTunes and Stitcher, and we might be on the Google Podcast app too. I'm not sure. That's one of those things. They just launched it last week, and I'm not 100% sure what you have to do to get on that. But we might be there.
Tentative.
Who knows?
Tentative.
Yep, and you can listen to us at WZMOFM.com or WZMO 107.5 if you're in the listening area at 10 a.m. and 9 p.m.
on Saturdays.
On Saturdays, that's right. So thanks again for tuning in. Go get some free comics. Go to your shops. Go find out where your comic book shops
go
are.
Fly.
Go quick. And
go watch Civil War.
Yeah, go do that too. Do a lot of things. Do a barrel roll. We'll see you next week.
This show was sponsored in part by Creative Foundations and Starbase Columbus.